Blog Talk Radio.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. A love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.
All right. Welcome back. My name is Yomsu Paul Reef. And this is the Real Talk for Real People show. I dedicate that song to all the brothers and sisters that find themselves falling on brown grass by virtue of them not following the rock they were hewn from, the ditch they were dug from, virtually their culture. We have become a monstrosity because we don't follow our own culture. We try to emulate other cultures, and it's daughter Babylon. We fall down on brown grass, and it doesn't have to be that way. If you emulate your own culture, your own kind, the originals, you'll find yourself not falling down on brown grass. Now, Cartrell ended his studies in the Songs of Solomon yesterday. It taught you the virtues of how to have a constructive and positive relationship by virtue of your mouth. See, we put a lot of bad mouths on each other. We don't know how to talk to one another. We don't know how to talk to our women. Our women don't know how to talk to our men, and it's a monstrosity. Some of it's called ghetto fabulous, black culture. And surely it is ghetto fabulous in a black culture. But that's nothing to speak volumes of, is it? Because the evidence doesn't lie in regards to us. We are becoming a monstrosity in regards to relationships, be that husband and wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, however you want to call it, brother and sister, uncle, niece, auntie, nephew, and so on and so forth. We're trying to get out of falling down on brown grass. And you'll find by virtue of what I'm talking about when we study Bereshit, which is the Hebrew name for Genesis, which is the Greek word. That's not the real word for it. But, you know, when these folk take things, they take over everything and they rename it. You know, they'll take your land and call it they land, and they'll rename it. So don't be surprised. And in Bereshit, you'll understand the dynamics of relationships. How when the Most High is not in the relationship, the dynamics of that relationship is brown grass, so to speak. And by virtue of Laban, Isaac's uncle. You know, Isaac's uncle went down with the Most High. And you know why I say he went down with the Most High? You remember when Isaac left with Leah and Rachel going back home? You know, someone he suspected stole his household idols. So that goes to show me Laban, his uncle, wasn't down with the Most High. And so that relationship was toxic off the beginning. You know, he took advantage of Isaac. He manipulated him and so on and so forth. So when you have people in your family that's not down with the Almighty, the Elohim, Yah, expect it. Expect it. And carry yourself accordingly, as Isaac did. He knew, he didn't argue, fuss, and fight with Laban, his uncle. He knew it was time to go. And sometimes you got to cut the ties with kinfolk sometimes. I know you don't want to, but unfortunately, you have no choice in an alternative because the relationships are brown grass relationships. And that's what we study on the Real Talk for Real People show. We try to go to the rock we were hewn from and the ditch we were dug from to pick up real culture because we have no culture to speak of. We have ghetto fabulous. We have so-called black culture, which is a monstrosity in itself. But nothing of cultural value to imitate who you are, what you are, and what you should be doing, and uplift you as a people, as a nation. And yes, we have reduced ourselves to these so-called black cultures and ghetto fabulous. And I hear us say that all the time, and I cringe when we say that. That's our culture, man. Man, that's our culture. That's not culture of value. That's not culture to speak of. That's not the rock you were hewn from and the ditch you were dug from by way of Abraham, Sarah, King Dawood, Queen Esther, Mordecai, even Samson, Esther, Deborah, and so on and so forth. That's culture of value. Not all those people, all our brothers and sisters, had culture of value. But a lot of them had culture worth speaking of, worth emulating, instead of emulating your oppressors, your captors. Thus, we have been reduced to a monstrosity. Because our captors, I must admit, and the onus is on them, but we bear some responsibility. The onus is on our captors because they are Dr. and Mrs. Frankenstein, and they've reduced you to Frankensteins. But once upon a time, they force you into this Frankenstein mentality. Now it's by choice. And that's sad. That's so sad. And it doesn't have to be that way. So that's why I'm glad you came to study with us tonight. That's why I'm happy you came to study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. See, in these studies, we study intently. We focus on everything surrounding. We give you a bird's eye view, and we focus on everything that's surrounding us. The characters of the people involved, the character of the Elohim, and so on and so forth. We try to glean from everything so we can apply. It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's hard sometimes. And then we encourage you after the studies to burn the midnight oil. Don't rest on your laurels. Don't take our word for it. You burn the midnight oil because it's your soul at stake. It's your happiness at stake. I know you're tired of lying down on brown grass in this Western hemisphere because we are Eastern people trying to emulate a Western culture. And it ain't working for us. It's working on us. So we need to start emulating the people we came from. Because two things are for sure. We're still in prison. We're still captives. And sometimes I hear when universal white race supremacy says, oh, they trying to start a race war. I don't know what the hell a race is, but I know one thing for certain. The war ain't never stopped since we arrived here buck naked and in chains. The war ain't never stopped against us. So when they shoot us down in the streets, when they treat us tacky, trashy, and a terroristic, it's to be expected. And if you expect something from their laws, I don't know what you're smoking on, but you better stop smoking on it because it's not working for you, and it ain't cute because it's working on you. You need the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. You need to dig into this. You need wisdom and understanding. I'm not talking about that college education. You need wisdom and understanding in the book of Proverbs, in the Psalms. And as a matter of fact, the whole Torah, you need it all. Because we're on life support, all of us. We're trying to emulate a Western culture that's brought us here. Truth be told, we're doing a rather good job. They don't have to kill too many of us. We do that. We don't see how precious we are in the eyes of the Elohim. We hate anything that remotely looks like us and write a rap song about it and willing to kid it. And it's true. We need to stop lying to ourselves and to each other. We're not going to ever get back to what we was unless we become like what we was or should have been. And that's our problem. We're trying to double down in this Western hemisphere of being accepted. They're not going to accept you being loved. They're not going to love you. And stop lying to yourself. I don't care how good you are, how much education you got, how much money you got all around the world. For us, it's the same old thing. So stop trying to get them to love you and like you and learn to love and like yourselves. Learn to do for yourselves. Learn to stop relying on this Western hemisphere that hadn't done anything for you. They got warehouses of laws. How's that working out for you? How's it improved your life? It hadn't. So let's start being honest. Before we get into these studies, first and foremost, let's start being honest. You have to stop lying to yourselves and each other. You have to take critical analysis and our assessment. And you got to take the Most High at His word. You gave everybody else a shot. You gave everybody else a shot in this Western Hemisphere. Why not give your Creator a shot? That's all we're saying. And by virtue of doing that, you have to study. It's imperative that you study. Our kings were required to study. The high priest was required to study. Elders were required to know something. Our elders don't know nothing. They don't know how to lead these people to nowhere because they don't know nothing. And that's a stopgap. We don't know who the king is. We don't know who the high priest is. But we certainly got elders. And what are they doing? They're elling. They're not elders. They're elling. Because they're not doing what they're required to do. They're not stepping in the gaps. They're not educating nobody. They're laying down. And we need to stop laying down as elders. We have a moral responsibility. And we're duty-bound and morally obligated to do no less as far as the Elohim is concerned. And praise Yah and bless His holy name. And yes, we give you a critical analysis study of the Most High Word. We leave no stone or leaf unturned. And we We don't give you a cross-contaminated version of that. We give you the accurate version of that. Praise Yah and bless His holy name. Tonight is family night. And always on family night, we like to give praises and thanksgiving. Not no church night. No, I ain't talking about shouting, speaking in tongues, whatever y'all do over there. But I'm talking about giving the Most High praises and thanksgiving for the things that He's done for you. Or the expectation of making vows to Him. And if you're going to make a vow, you need to keep that vow. Okay? And I know what some of you are wondering. Yam Su, who is the we that you're making reference to? Well, we have Sister Abby out from New York City. She's a lead student, just like Yam Su. I'm a lead student. I've been studying Most High Word, and I ain't never satisfied. And I'm going to keep being redundant and studying and studying. It doesn't stop for me till the casket drops. And it shouldn't for you either. And she loves the Most High with all her heart, mind, soul, and strength, and the brothers and the sisters that she loves herself. You know why I said that? And her college education, man, now get out of here with that. The Most High didn't tell you to get a college education. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm not knocking it. But the Most High says, seek wisdom and understanding. It's more precious than rubies. And she has that. And she loves her brothers and sisters as herself. And the reason why I said that is that she's on this show often as she can, practically every night. She gives us her finances. She don't just talk about it, but she be about it. So if it's good enough for the Most High, her so-called education, for His wisdom and understanding is concerned, and our love for our brothers and sisters, that's good enough for me. And Cottrell from New York City also, he's the same kind of way. I have high esteem and regard for this brother. He ain't laying down, blaming folk, hating on his own people, hating anything that remotely looks like him. He knows that each of us are precious in the eyes of the Elohim, and he treats them that accord. And the same goes for Sister Avia. And I hope, fellow students, the same go for you also. Learn to love your kind. Learn to help your kind. Learn to stop being a monstrosity on life support and talking about some so-called black culture. What is that? I don't even know what that is. I'm not a color. And even if I was a color, I certainly ain't black. Okay? Man, we need to stop it. That's why we need to do these studies, people. We need to get it right. We need to get to the fundamentals. And we need to push out from there. And that's what we offer you on this study. Real talk. Ain't no warm feather so you can feel good about yourself. It's so you can understand who you are, what you are, and what you should be doing, and how you should treat your own kind, how you should treat other nations, the fundamentals, and push out from there. So let me bring Sister Avion and Brother Cottrell, then we're going to get into these studies. Oh, my. We got a lot of callers tonight, Cottrell. A lot of callers. Man, the line is on hotline tonight. Praise God. Bless His holy name. Sister Avia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, and may the Most High bless you and everyone else, and all glory and praises to Yah. I'm feeling kind of guilty, man. You know, right now. I might have to leave a little earlier.
Look here, you mean to tell me you're going to leave these 5,000 plus additional folk to call in on the line? You're going to leave
Give me a minute and I'll tell you. Because you almost hit it. You said when you make a vow, keep it. I made a vow to Yah that if He let me stop drinking, I would never drink again. And I kept that. And I still plan on keeping it. But however, my sponsor anniversary is tonight at AA.
Right.
And it's her 35th anniversary. And I cooked up a storm for her to take and be there. And I feel, y'all understand, because she helped me through the battle also.
Okay.
She put her in my life.
Sister, just stop it. You know I love you. You know it don't take all that. We love our kind. We don't put our kind down. Go do what you got to do. And these folk know you love them too, okay? You're going to be all right. You're going to be
all
right.
I do. I love you all.
Thank you, Sister Abby. I praise y'all. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. The lines are popping. We got these 500,000 students, and we got a whole lot on the talk line. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Brother Yom Su, Sister Aviyah. May the Most High bless you as well.
Thank you, brother.
Bless you too, brother.
Doing okay, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Praise God. We got 500,000 now? I thought it was 5,000.
Yeah, 5,000. I just want more. 5,000 plus a whole lot of. I think we're going to get there. I think we're going to get there one of these days. 5,000 plus a whole lot of people on the chat line. That I can't see the numbers. They asked the number because they're all the way to the bottom. I can't even see it.
Well, you let us know your thing is a little broken. But anyway.
Truth be told.
I have to correct you on a little piece of your dissertation that you made, because Laban right. didn't chase Isaac for the idol.
Right.
You're a little bit ahead of the story.
Okay.
Isaac never met Laban. As a matter of fact, Abraham sent Eliezer, his servant, to go get Rebekah, Isaac's wife, for him. So he never really met Laban, Isaac,
yes.
our father.
Okay, hold on. Wait just a minute. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm true by what I'm saying. His excuse for chasing Isaac, Rachel, and Leah, what he said, somebody stole his household idol.
That wasn't Isaac. That was Jacob.
That was Jacob. Man, my finger broke. Man, let's get into the studies. I told y'all. I've been studying so much, I get jumbled up to the country. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Isaac's wife, Rebecca,
yeah.
was Laban's sister. That
oh,
was his
right.
sister.
Okay, now let me, since Katria pointed that out to me. Okay, Esau, Yaakov. Yaakov is the one that
yes.
goes to his uncle's house, Laban. And the uncle manipulated him, using and whatnot. So he get tired of the abuse and whatnot. He see loaning for home. And Rachel has taken family idol from her uncle, Laban.
You like and, two chapters ahead. You two
yeah,
chapters
I'm two
ahead.
Chapters. I'm two chapters. But I'm trying to correct it. Because you're right.
Okay.
My mind gets so jumbled in these studies. But that's why we got each other, brother. And I love you for that. And I respect you for that.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Why iron sharpens iron. You keep me on the train tracks. Like, I hope I keep you on the train tracks. So we try to keep each other.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. For Cartrell, Sister Abby, and fellow students and Radio Land and those that call in, we're ready to get into our studies. Go to Battle of the Sheep. The first book, y'all call it Genesis. That's the Greek name for it. That's not the name. The name is Hebrew, mean Battle of the Sheep. In the beginning, in the mind of Yah, brought to you by way of Moses. Okay? And so chapter 29. And Yaakov has left home because brother got hate on him, just like some brothers today got hate on him. And is trying to kill him. So he has to leave home. And guess who the Most High leads him into? The love of his life. But it ain't going to work out the way he planned it. But it's still going to work out, though. Can we get into our studies? Praise Yah. Bless his holy name. Let him continue to direct and order our steps. So Yaakov went on his journey. And he came to the land of the people of the east. I said, we are eastern people trying to emulate a western way. And we looked, and he looked and saw a whale in the field. And behold, there was three flocks of sheep lying by it. But out of that well, they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. And Yaakov said to them, my brethren, where are you from? They said, we are from Haran. And he said to them, Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? They said, we know him. And he said to them, is he well? See, look how this man comports himself. He just thinking about his own interests. He's even concerned about his uncle, unlike some of us. Some of us have been reduced to me, 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 me. It's all about me. The hell with anybody else. That's not the way we're supposed to be. He was concerned, and he expressed his concern. He said, is he well? Then they said to him, then he said, oh, let's go on. Then they said, we know him. And he said to them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And look, his daughter, Rachel, is coming with the sheep. Then he said, look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered together. And they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. Now, while he was still speaking to them, Rachel came with her father's sheep. And she was a shepherdess, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother. And the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled a stone from the Jacob himself. That boy had some strength, didn't he? He rolled a stone by himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he broke a code. He broke a code in the east. They told him what the code was, didn't they?
Exactly.
He said, we wait till all the cattle come, and then we roll the stone away. So well, now he's violating.
Yeah, we good at violating, Cottrell. I mean,
he didn't violate initially because he asked them, you know, show this character, you know, where you're from, how you doing, where's my uncle, how's my uncle, you know. But now, he done lost his mind. You know, see, he don't see.
Rachel paid him losing his mind. He got to show his
muscle. He just lost his mind. And a woman Rachel make you do that.
Yeah, a woman make you do that. Made Samson do some things. Made Adam do some things. Made King Solomon do some things. A woman will make you do some things. You better hope it's the right kind of woman too. Sisters, so hold on, Carter. Let me clarify this. I don't want the sisters mad at me. Sisters, you better make sure it's the right kind of brother too. Works both ways. Go ahead, Cartrell.
It showed the tremendous strength that our father Jacob had. Exactly. It took four men to roll that stone away. He sees Rachel,
a good motivator.
And it's like Papa opening up that can of spinach.
A good woman, a good man is a great motivator, Cartrell.
But I say all that to say, people look at our prowess today. They look at our athletes and we become the best of the best when we do it. But it all comes from Jacob and
exactly.
Abraham.
Exactly.
These were mighty, mighty men.
Right.
Our roots, these brothers were mighty men.
Exactly.
And people were afraid of them.
You know, when they talked about the stone, it reminded me when my mind was all messed up and confused because back in the days in church, they talking about they rolled a stone away so Jesus could come out of there. So I'm glad I got that out my system.
Oh, is that right? I didn't read about where you read that at? Where they read that at?
Even they had the song talking about he rose from the dead. They're talking about Jesus. They got it all mixed up.
Oh, okay.
And what makes more sense? Why would you put a stone over a well? And why would you put a stone over a tomb?
Right.
That's right.
Put a stone over a well to keep it from being polluted, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And critters and everything, and bugs and everything getting in it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, Sister Abia. Now, while he was speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep. for she was a shepherdess. It came to pass when Yaakov saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Yaakov went near and rolled a stone from the well of the mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Yaakov kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Yaakov told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son, her auntie. So she ran and told her father. Then it came to pass that Uncle Laban heard the report about Yaakov, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced and kissed him and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things, what had transpired. And Laban said to him, surely you are the bone of my flesh. And he stayed with him for a month. Yaakov marries Leah and Rachel.
So, what was Rachel's occupation?
She was a shepherdess.
And that sounds like a light occupation, don't it?
No, bro. That ain't no easy work, okay? That's some hard work.
King David was a shepherd. That's why y'all chose him to be king, right?
Exactly.
And he had to protect his flock against lions and bears.
So she wasn't no pushover.
Oh no. And she's Laban's youngest daughter. And he got her out there doing that?
Because she wasn't nothing nice, bro. Our sisters ain't nothing nice. They just nothing nice for the wrong thing though. They ain't nothing nice right now because they know who they are, what they should be doing, or what they are. They're not nice for the wrong things instead of being not nice for the right things. That's the problem.
So she was a shepherdess, but that's not an easy occupation.
No, it's not. Thank you, Kadriel. Then Laban said to Yaakov, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be? Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel, whom he met. Leah's eyes were delicate. She had adorable eyes. But Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Rachel was a bad mama jama. Leah was nice looking on the average. But that Rachel was a bad mama jama. She was 24, 26, 20, what, 24, 36, 27 like. Go ahead.
We just read the Song of King Solomon, right?
Exactly.
And he was like, I can't even look into your eyes. They're so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Rachel's eyes are a little bit more beautiful than Leah's.
Right.
But the fact that they were sisters mean that Leah wasn't no joke either.
No, she wasn't no joke. He just had his eyes cut out for Rachel.
That's the first one he saw.
Hey, fell in love with him. Love at first sight.
Yeah. There you go.
And it's possible, too. It's possible. Now, Yaakov loved Rachel. No, he didn't want to have sex with her like some of y'all think. He didn't want to sex her up like y'all modern day folks see her. He just loved her innately as a person. He loved her soul. He loved her spirit. He loved her physicalness. He just loved the woman in totality. You know.
And y'all said,
yes, go ahead.
We about to see the price he was willing to pay for that love.
That's what
I'm saying. He waited 7 years and he worked for that love
right.
as part of his dowry to the family. Because Eastern ways, you got to pay a dowry for the women that you take as your wife.
That's why they don't value women today, Kajal. That's why they don't value sisters today. Because it's easy to breathe. There's no value system on them. So they think
if you got daughters,
if
you got daughters and they husbands come to take your daughters, they got to pay you a price for the void they're creating for you.
Exactly.
That's how I work in the Eastern way. In the Western way, the father is paying for the wedding. How that work?
We are Eastern people trying to emulate a Western culture. It does not work for us. We need every time we can get in our household's country. Truth be told.
I know I ain't paying for my daughter's wedding, that's for sure.
I ain't either.
Her husband got to pay me. You taking my daughter.
Right. Exactly.
It's called dowry. Look it up.
Right. I didn't raise her. I didn't fail her. I didn't close her. I need to be paid.
And I'm losing her to you, my man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm losing her to you.
Exactly. And he said, now, Yaqub loved Rachel. Thank you, Katya. And he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Uncle Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Well, it's better for me to give her to you then. Stay with her.
Why he say that? You know why he said that?
Okay, explain.
Because he knew Abraham was rich. He knew that Isaac was rich. And he knew that Jacob was about to get it.
He was going to get rich. I believe there's some truth to that, country.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this man was sly now. Uncle Laban was slick. Then he said...
You remember him, right? He's the one that met Abraham's servant, Eliezer.
Exactly.
It was kind of like searching him down and kind of running
slick.
The show.
He was slick,
yeah.
Too. He was... You remember Rebecca got those earrings and those.
Oh, yeah.
So he was trying to
ten
get him.
10 camels worth of stuff.
Yeah.
10 camels.
Exactly. So he knows the man come from good stock.
Oh, yeah.
So he would make sure his daughter was well taken care of. That's for sure. And his
and this is the son of my sister who Abraham gave all that to?
Exactly.
So he knows what he's doing.
Now he want to marry one of my daughters for sure. You can have but
well,
he's
gonna make sure that he marry both of them. Watch.
Right.
He'll make sure he marry both of them.
I'm telling you, man got game. Uncle Laban got game, bro. Okay. Yeah, all know
he
Uncle
got real game.
Game.
That man got real game.
He got game. And so Yaqub, because he was so intensified in his love for Rachel, served 7 years for Rachel. And it seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Yaqub said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now, it came to pass in the evening that he didn't, because this is in the dark, they didn't have light like we got light. So he didn't even know who he was with, because it was so dark. But he knew he was with somebody. He thought it was Rachel. Let's go on to find this out. Now it came to pass in the evening, he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Yaqub. He went into her. Yaqub went into her tent. And Laban gave Zilpha, who's going to have some babies by him, her, to his daughter, Leah, as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. He found out, oh, man, I've been had. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not Rachel that I serve you? Was it not for Rachel that I serve you? Why have you... Didn't I tell you Uncle Laban got tricks? Why then have you deceived me? Go ahead, Cartrell.
So we see Jacob waited 7 years
mm-hmm.
in order to consummate the marriage that was
exactly.
promised to him after he
exactly.
paid his dowry. Of seven
right.
years of work.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't just run around in 7 years trying to get slick and sleep with her while everybody
mm-hmm.
else is sleeping. He had to wait 7 years before they consummated the marriage, which is an Eastern custom. On wedding
right.
day, you consummate the marriage by
right.
sleeping with your wife. Here,
exactly.
you get married and then you go on a honeymoon. No, you're not going on a honeymoon.
Uh-huh.
You're going to prove that your daughter's a virgin.
Exactly.
By the consummation of this marriage. So
exactly.
that may seem peculiar to Western people. Oh, they had to, you know, consummate the marriage that day and everybody had to know. Yes, everybody had to know. One, she's a virgin. It's the first time they slept together.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Jacob waited 7 years in order
mm-hmm.
to do this.
Yeah. And you know what?
And
Laban
should have told Jacob from jump that we don't marry off the younger daughter before he married off the older daughter. This is
well,
the
sure.
custom of the people, but he left that out.
Right. But here's the deal. I don't think Leah was a big talker, because ain't no way in heck I know I want somebody. And even I can't hardly see her, you know, it's dim in that tent. you know, and I know she's naked and everything, but I got some general idea what, in my mind's eye, what Rachel's body looked like and feel like. And I guess he was so consumed with his passion for her that he not
he
even
couldn't think. Tell the difference.
Yeah,
it didn't matter to him until the morning, and he saw her face.
Yeah, and obviously she was not talking.
And it showed how much control Laban had over the whole situation. Because Rachel could have said something, and Leah should have said something. But neither one of them said anything.
Nobody said, this got down to business. They got down to business, brother. Because, you know, she never knew a man. He never knew a woman. So they just like little young rabbits. They got down to business. And, okay, so here we go again. So it came to pass the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not Rachel that I serve you? Why then have you deceived me? And Uncle Laban said, it must not be done. So in our country, we don't do it that way. To give you the younger before the firstborn, that ain't how we do it. Fulfill her wish.
And Yasu, I'm sorry. This is like karma for Jacob, isn't it?
Right.
Because he deceived Isaac, his father, didn't he?
Exactly. What comes around,
he pretended.
Around.
He pretended that he was Esau. They never told Isaac the truth. Not his mother, not Esau, nor Jacob. They kept that truth from Isaac. Now this karma is coming around. Oh, why did you deceive me?
Right.
That's the question he should have asked himself. Why did I deceive my father? I should have told him the truth.
Exactly.
Then my brother sold me his birthright. And he should have made Esau confess to Isaac. Yes, I did, my father. I made a vow and sold my birthright to my son. I mean, my brother, Jacob. So therefore, you have to bless Jacob and not me. And and Isaac's wife, Rebecca, she should have been told Isaac, listen, the Most High came to me, told me the younger's going to rule the older, that Jacob is the one. She should have told him a long time ago. But she kept that to herself.
Mm-hmm. She kept her mouth closed. And he said, fulfill her week. I mean, you do your husbandly duties for her that week. Do your execute your husband's responsibility in her regard. And we will give you this one also for the service, which you will serve with me on, still another 7 years. Then Yaakov did so fulfill her week, her husbandly duties. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife also. But it was not consummated to 7 years later.
And no.
Hold on, let me finish. And Laban
it
gave
it consummated.
Now say that again.
He gave her to him after a week of service. But then he had to serve another 7 years for her. He didn't make him wait another 7 years.
Oh. Makes sense. Makes sense to me, Godfrey.
So read that again, because he made him give him a week of service, and then you could have Rachel. Laban gave Rachel to Jacob, but then the obligation was for him to work another 7 years, another dowry.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Then Jacob did so for fear her week, was his husbandly duties were concerned. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife when Laban Laban gave his maid Baha to his daughter Rachel as a maid. And Yaakov also went in to Rachel.
Yes.
He also loved Rachel more than Leah. And as a result of it, he served with Laban still another. So you're right, Katria. You're right. Now the children of Yaakov. The Elohim saw that Leah was unloved. He opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called him Reuben. For she said, the Elohim has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband would love. You know, a lot of women get married with children or for children. That don't work out. She ain't the first woman got married thinking a child would remedy things. That's the wrong reason to get married. It didn't remedy the situation with her. I mean, he was morally bound to duty and duty bound to do his other responsibility, but it didn't make him love her as he loved Rachel. But she thought it would, and we as human always think that. Rachel, Leah is not the only one that thinks that way. They think if they have a baby, get by a guy, oh, he's going to love me. Because a lot of women with babies ain't got the daddy around. And you better believe it.
And Yansu.
Yes.
That relationship, becoming man and wife, and being intimate like that and having a child, is a spiritual thing. It reflects in a child.
Right. It is.
So she's thinking that now, behold, I have a son. Now my husband going to love me. That's not what the reason you got a child. That's not the reason you're lying together.
Mm-hmm.
In your mind, that's what it was. And that's what you named your son, the vibration you put on him. Reuben, behold, now, you know, my husband going to see me.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't make a difference because Jacob truly loved Rachel.
Yeah,
you can't change that.
You can't change that. Thank you, Patrick. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Elohim have heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called him Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son. Now, this time, my husband will become attached to me because I've borne him three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Elohim. Therefore,
Go ahead.
Okay, therefore, she called his name Yehuda. Then she stopped bearing. She stopped having babies. Go ahead, Katria.
So you could see that her emotions were involved in the making of her children, right?
Right.
And she finally got it after the last child. It wasn't about her husband. It wasn't about her sister. It was about Yah.
Mm-hmm.
The third son, Levi, oh, now my husband's going to be joined to me. No, that didn't quite work out.
Mm-hmm.
Simeon, she was close. Oh, Yah has heard me. He's given me another son.
Right.
So she was spiritually in tune on and off with the Most High.
Right.
And then she finally got it when she named her son Yehuda.
Mm-hmm.
I will praise Yah, because that's where the blessings come from. She knew the God of Jacob. She didn't praise the idols of her father. She knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and she understood that he was in her life.
Right. So she got a reward. It didn't make her husband any more attached to her, but it gave her a relationship with the Elohim, which is more important than a relationship with her husband.
Exactly.
Praise Yah. Contrell, we have a call on, got his hand up. Before we go to Psalms number one, I think they may want to ask a question in regards to what we just studied. So I'm going to bring area code 386. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is up. Tell us who you are, man, and make your comment or ask your question. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Area code 386. First prefix is 546. Area code 386-546. Your mic is
hot. You're on mute.
No, you're on mute. Hit one. All right. Well. All right. Well, I guess we'll proceed to our next segment of Sunday Cartrell. Cartrell is about to bring us to another segment of our studies in the book of Psalms. Psalms. Praise Yah.
All praise to the Holy One, Yisrael. Going back in the cycle. Everything is cyclical, right? Everything got cycles, right?
Exactly.
And the book of Psalms gives us the way and the path if we don't know how to pray to our Creator. We should all know how to communicate with our Creator, right?
Exactly. Fundamentals, brother. Fundamentals.
So not only is the book of Psalm a book of prayer, but it's a book of wisdom too, because it teaches us how to connect and how humble we should be in approaching the Most High, the creator of the universe. My computer's a little slow right now, trying to get to Psalms 1. Give me 1 second. But we see where King Solomon gets his wisdom from, his father, King David. King David is responsible for most of these Psalms, not all of them, but most of them. And he had direct connect with our creator. The Most High loved King David because of the communication that he had with him. So we can learn a lot from our king. It says follow the leader, right? And most of our people don't have true leaders. So in hearing the words of leaders, which should be impactful on our spirits, our minds, and our souls. So we're in the book of Psalms. You have a title for that? First book of Psalms, King? I mean, Yamsu? My book don't have titles. Yamsu, you there? I guess he took a little break. But anyway, we'll find out the title of book one, Psalm of King David. Verse 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And you could call the counsel of universal white racist supremacy counsel of wickedness, because they do not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, nor do they teach you of his words. So their counsel is the counsel of the wicked. They got nuclear bombs. Nor stand in the path of sinners. And we know what sin is. The Most High condemns homosexuality, lesbianism, and all that, LGBTQ. But we know the wicked promote that. So you stand in the path of sinners, you're in trouble. Nor sit in the seat of scoffers. And who are people that scoff? Those are the back row bleacher people that call out names and curse and throw things. Scoffers. People that scoff at Yah's word, the Old Testament, Yah's commands through his prophet. Oh, that's that old stuff y'all talking about. Y'all scoffing. You don't want to be there scoffing at what Yah has to say. But his delight is in Yah's law. And who's that? Blessed is the man who delights in Yah's law. And if you don't know Yah's law, you better study it, because Yah's law is delightful. Yah's law is balanced. Yah's law is just. We're looking for justice. It's in Yah's law. On his law, he meditates day and night. Yeah, he should be studying it, meditating on it, and compare it to the nations where violence is prevalent in the earth right now. And the leaders of the earth seem to have no control. Yah's law brings justice in the earth. It says those who do that, he will be like a tree planted by streams of water that produces its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now, ancient fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were like trees planted by water because they meditate on what Yah was commanding them to do. As what we should be doing, same thing. We should be like trees planted by streams of water. And that's a never-ending flow of water. You ain't got to worry about watering your trees. The wicked are not so, but like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand in the judgment. What judgment? Oh, judgment day, when fire and brimstone is going to rain down from heaven. The wicked will not stand. You can't put your sins on Jesus, because you will not stand. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, because there will be a congregation of the righteous that endures this judgment. For Yah knows the ways of the righteous. Yah knows the ways of the wicked too. But the way of the wicked, which he knows, will perish. All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. Yah sees and knows all that we do. Nothing is hidden from him. Not in the light, nor in the darkness. Everything in the dark will come to light. So you need to get down on your knees and pray for repentance for the things you've done. And we're here to repent for our fathers as well as for ourselves, for the things we've done. Because nothing we've done is hidden from the Most High. So I submit myself to the Most High, my humility, the little bit of humility that I have. I give thanks and praises to the Most High on this family night for all that he's done for me, enlightening me, opening my eyes, put me on the path of Yah's law, because I do be light in Yah's law, which is why I'm here every night, 5 nights a week, because you can never get tired of the word of Yah. So I'm so glad that Yah has led me to his word on the path of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the blessings that come with it, to be in contact with like-minded Israelites like Yom Suf and Mr. Abiyah and the elders on the United Nations of Israel, Council of Elders, my family, all the Israelites I've known. I thank Yah for keeping me alive, because I wanted to end it when I was 14, and he showed me so much more. So my loyalty, my dedication is to Yah. I vow to him, and I plan to keep my vow until the day the casket drops, as Yom Suf said. So I'm here. I'm dedicated. I delight in Yah's word, and I hope that the words that we speak have an impact on the audience that's out there. All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Abby, I'm going to give you this moment to say some blessings and praise Yah, because I know you may have to get ready to go any moment.
Yes. All praises and glory to the Holy One of Israel, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am so grateful and thankful to Yah for bringing me out of the darkness where I call the church, opening my eyes and my heart to understand, giving me the wisdom, meeting the right people, and getting on the right path. And I hope that pray that Yah receive from me each and every day. He understands my heart. I thank him for everybody and everything. Thank him for his love, his mercy, and his grace, and his patience with me. So shalom, family, and good night.
Shalom. Thank you. Praise Yah. I want to give praise and blessing to the Most High for us, the lead students, because we're all students. There's not going to be a professor on this show. There's not going to be a high educator on this show. It's going to be lead students on this show. And that's what we offer you, lead students in itself. I want to thank Yah for that. I want to thank Yah for his humility, his wisdom and understanding for us and the fellow students. I want to thank the Most High for protecting each of us that we're all well. I want to thank the Most High and ask the Most High to let no sin have dominion over us to keep us separated from you. I want to praise the Most High for the vows I've made, and I will keep those vows in the great assembly. And I made about 4 vows to the Most High, and I intend to keep them in the day of assembly in the congregation. I'd like to thank the Most High for the opportunity to know who we are, what we are, and what we should be doing. I'd like to thank the Most High for each and every brother and sister in this nation. Although some are not aware of the Most High, and some don't care about the Most High. But we care, and we care about you. I want to thank the Most High for the opportunity to have this platform to study and meditate on the Most High Word and to share the Most High Word with each of you. I want to ask the Most High to help you burn the midnight oil. Don't take our word for it. You study for yourself. It's your soul at stake. You study for yourselves. And you analyze and meditate on the word of Yah and ask the Most High to direct and order your step by virtue of his word. Because that's the only way you can follow the Most High. By virtue of his word, led his footstep, and his words is his footsteps. I'd like to thank the Most High for our families. I'd like to thank the Most High for our help. I'd like to thank the Most High for the opportunity to have our souls restored for his name's sake. I'd like to ask the Most High, most importantly tonight, for each of us, to help us be humble. We become a monstrosity that no one can tell anybody anything. Everybody got all the sense in the world. Well, we don't have to listen to one another, but we certainly have to listen to the word of the Elohim. And let that be prominent in everybody's mind tonight. Not Yom Suf. I can't do anything for you. Not Katria, he can't do anything for you. Not Sister Abia, she can't do anything for you. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub can do everything for you and then some. Place your trust in that. And keep your humility. Learn to listen. Learn to humble yourself. Not to me, but to the Elohim. Praise and bless his holy name. Fellow students, we're going to get ready to get out of here. We hope that you found something that was informative, because we don't do the warm and fuzzy. The study of the Most High Word, although it makes you warm and fuzzy sometimes, we do critical analysis and our assessment and application of the Most High Word. And we hope you came to study to do application of the Most High Word. And we will be back, the Most High willing, this come Monday as your lead students, because all of us are students. And it won't stop for us until our casket drops. We hope you feel the very same way. Praise and bless the Most High name. May the Most High bless you. We love you. Shalom and good night. Move in the right direction. God bless you, Sister Abby.
Are the first three chapters of this book of Psalms, first chapter, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of Yah, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He will be like a tree planted by streams of water that produces its fruit in due season, whose leaf does not wither, whatsoever he does shall prosper. So we look up for blessings and prosperity. Just read and meditate on the first book of Psalms. All praise to the Holy One, Yisrael. Yisrael, shalom and good night.
Susavia?
She might be gone, huh?
I think she's gone, my brother. Fellow students, thank you, Katria. We love you. Shalom and good night.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string. One that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home. One that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh. You're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. I wish my mama was here. A strong, strong, steady rose. She would know what to do, what to say, how to pray to make things better. What does it mean when you say